He's got His arm right ready for you, invite you to come to Him. Amen. And I'm aware of what time it is. We try to keep these preachers on a time schedule, particularly in the morning. It never works very well, but I try to anyhow, so we can get two preachers in and Brother Tom and get out on time. They did a little better this time, but I know how it is. But I want to just share with you something. If you were a pastor, you know what I'm talking about. Homecoming, Mother's Day, and Father's Day is probably the most difficult time of the year to preach because everybody's ready to go eat. They're thinking about daddy, thinking about mama. And if you're at homecoming, you think about all that food back in there. Amen. So, but I know we want you just to be blessed today. Have time with your family. We don't have any services here tonight. And we're going to, in just a few minutes, we're going to have a special prayer for Brother Dwayne. But during the week, I was praying about what the Lord had me to share this morning on Father's Day. You never know how the services go like Mother's Day. But I want you to come back to what I would call an old friend. Several weeks ago, or let's say months ago now, I was somewhere in a revival, and I was to preach. And that evening, I just had an unusual burden on me. There was something about, I don't know what it was, burdens in my family or the church here or whatever. But it's just one of those days when you feel heavy. I mean, it just felt like the whole weight of the world, I guess, was on your shoulders, on your heart too. And I knew I had to go out to preach. And I knelt down in a back room, always trying to find me a little room to go back. And I couldn't say a word. I just knelt there for a few minutes. And then all of a sudden, what I'm going to read to you just started flooding my heart. And I'm going to tell you one thing. I had one of those Pentecostal Baptist fits back there in the back room right by myself. It doesn't take much if it's the Holy Ghost to speak to you. It doesn't just take a word, just one word fitly spoken, the Bible said. And so look in the book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. I'm going to read some preceding verses just before I get to what I want to preach on. And I promise you, I'm going to be very, very brief this morning. And I do want to share, we're going to pray for Brother Dwayne in just a moment. He's asked us to pray for him here at the front and for others. And Brother Donnie's here this morning, and we need to remember him in prayer, and Cameron, and then my good friend Tom. And then also Miss Peggy Barefoot's going to have a procedure this week. And so we want to remember that. That's on Tuesday, isn't that right, Chuck? And so we want to pray for her this morning and others. Brother Bobby is recovering at home from his procedure, and he's doing well. But look in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, and let's see what he has to say. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. They did long chants. They had a kind of a long thing they do. It's repetitious over and over again, over and over again. And it doesn't mean that we ought not to pray without ceasing, but what he's saying is they don't have any heart in what they're saying. It's vain. It's empty. It's just a routine to them. And they think because they go through this disciplined prayer, that is just spending a long time praying. But sometimes you don't have to pray very long. I had a friend when I was in Tennessee Temple that ran off one of those mountains. He'd been off preaching somewhere, was coming back, a little bit drowsy. He ran off a mountain, and he just went airborne, and he said, "Lord, save me." And that thing hit those trees and rolled down that mountain. He climbed out, just a little scratched up and everything else. His car was totaled. And so when he came back in our Sunday school class, the Couples for Christ class in Tennessee Temple, a week or so after, you know, he got back, he came back in. He's testifying about that. And he said, "I went off, I was airborne." And he said, "All I could say is, Lord, save me." And he did. He said, "If I had to do all over again, I'd say, Lord, save me and my car." And he said, "But I didn't think about that then." But he said, "I was fine. The car was total." But, you know, it doesn't take, if you're hooked up, it doesn't take long to get a message across to the Lord, does it? And so he said, you don't use vain repetition. You get a hold of God. But now notice what he said in verse number 8. "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. After this manner," that means in this way, you don't have to necessarily pray this prayer, but this is what came into my heart that day, evening, just before I was to go out to preach. As I knelt there, no words would come to me, and then all of a sudden, this started flooding my heart. "Our Father." And I'm going to be honest with you, I hardly got past that first little phrase in my mind and heart when I got to thinking about Him. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Will you pray with me? Our Father, which art in heaven, Lord, I thank you, God, for the testimonies this morning, for the wonderful singing of the choir. Brother Jeff did such a great job leading, and Jennifer playing this morning. Thank you for gifting her to play and her using her talents for you. Thank you, our Father, for the special just now. Oh, thank you for Miss Serena and Brother Bob and their family, how we love them and how faithful servants of yours they are. God, for her singing this morning, that wonderful song you laid on her heart, that you are a God that saves. And Lord, the first part of that song, if I'd have been you, I'd give up on me a long time ago. But God, you never have give up on any of us. You're long-suffering and you loved us. And God, you're the God that saves and meets all of our needs. Now, God, thank you for this day. Make this a good day for all the fathers and of all the folk that are here. Some of them, their dad is not with them today. But Lord, what a joy as we remember that heaven is a very real place. And God, I do pray for all our fathers in the media audience on the internet, at home, other places. And God, I pray your blessing on them. Some fathers today are sick. I pray for Brother Tom Robertson. I pray, God, that, Lord, the report we got a while ago that he's going to be trying to get out. They're going to let him out today, maybe, to be home. And I pray, God, thank you for hearing and answer prayer. And God, I pray that, Lord, he'd have a great day with his family at home and as it continues to heal. Now, Lord, speak to our hearts here. God, if there's a man or a woman, a boy and girl in this building, Lord, who doesn't know their Heavenly Father, they've never been born again. Like Mitchell said, I'm glad as the song was just sung, your arms are open wide. You said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You said, he that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. And Lord, I believe that today. I believe, God, that if there's a boy or girl, a man or woman in here that's not saved, if they by faith today would come to you, your arms are already open wide and you're strong. You're able to save to the uttermost all that call upon you. But beyond that, you're able to keep. Our Father, no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And God, I'm glad that, Lord, when you save to the uttermost and to through all eternity. And God bless thou, and I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to just share with you a few little things here about that used to say in school, there's the three R's. Well, I got more than three this morning, but I want to give you a few R's about this Lord's Prayer as we think about our Father. Number one, I think about our relationship. Notice what he said. You pray like this, our Father. He speaks of a relationship between you and him. He is the creator of this universe. He's the sovereign of this universe. And Mitchell talked about Skinner, about his daddy, and about how he knew all about the creation of God, the birds and all those things. And there are a lot of people who worship the creation more than the creator. But thank God that he came to know Christ and he knew that there was a creator who made all this. But my dear friend, listen, when I think about him, he's the sovereign, the creator of this universe. He's ruler. And thank God for that. But my dear friend, there's more to it than that in the relationship here mentioned. He is now my Father. You don't get to be his son by just being born into the human race. The Bible said you're born into Adam's race. You're lost, separated from God. You have that Adamic nature in you. You're alienated from God without hope in the world unless you know Christ. But I am sure glad that you can come by faith. The Holy Ghost of God deals with you and convicts you of your sin, righteousness, and judgment. But you can trust Christ. And when you do that, the birth cry of a Christian is the Holy Ghost of God comes into your heart and he cries, Abba, Father. And thank God for that. My dear friend, listen. You're born again, and that great sovereign of this universe, the creator of all things, becomes your heavenly Father. That doesn't change his awesomeness. It doesn't change his power. Doesn't change his omniscience that he knows everything. Doesn't change your honor and respect of him, but it changes that relationship to where that God is now your Father, and you approach him as a son. What a blessing it is. But notice something else about in this. He taught us to pray our Father. He didn't teach you to pray my Father. Isn't that unusual? He taught us to pray Our Father because He's always reminding us of our relationship to Him, but our relationship to those who know Him. We are brothers and sisters with folk from around the world. They may not even have the name Baptist on their church, but if they've been washed in the blood, John mentioned about some Catholic relatives who knew the Lord. I believe there are folk in a lot of different groups, a lot of denominations, and it's not the name nor the title, but it's the relationship you have with Him that makes a difference. You must be born again and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So far as other parts of church administration and worship and all those things, they may vary. They're different. Some people like Bojangles and some people like McDonald's. But my dear friend, there's difference in the way people worship as well and where they worship. But the truth is, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, He that hath the Son hath life. And you've got brothers and sisters you've never seen. But when you meet them, there'll be a kindred spirit. And when these preachers and missionaries come in, we had folk here this year that never had been here before. And they fed at home. You made them feel at home. But the Holy Ghost of God made them feel at home. And whenever you go around the world, and I've been in a lot of places or in other countries and other places, and when I go in and there are believers there, we may not be the same color, we may not speak the same language, but there is a bond of brotherhood because we have the same Father washed in the blood. And thank God for that relationship, and thank the Lord for this. It is an unchanging relationship. I have a dear sister who talked about Brother Allen and blessed our hearts so about him adopting her and her brother and his two brothers, two sister, brothers and a sister. And I've heard him talk about it so often. And I'm going to tell you that he loved them and his precious wife. They were their children. That's all they ever said. I never did know they were adopted for a long time. Because they talked about their sons and their daughter and about how they were their children. And thank God, I was an alien, a stranger from the Commonwealth of Israel. But when He saved me, I became His son. Hallelujah for that. Oh, that wonderful relationship. But listen, right off the bat, He tells us about our residence, our Father which art in heaven. Boy, listen, I talk to people. One of the questions in just kind of getting to know people, I said, where were you raised and where is your home? Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing about our residence in heaven. We are strangers and pilgrims down here. I've had people tell me, well, we were born right over here across the road on Barber Mill Road or born at McGee's Crossroad or whatever. Then we moved to Clayton. We moved here. We moved yonder, whatever. And, you know, but that was our home place over there. But then most of us ought to always add this, but none of this is really our home. We're going to make one more big move before it's over with, and we're going to go live in heaven. And so when I pray this prayer, I think about the Father's house, His residence, and we'll get to live there forever. But oh, look, notice a little bit further in this thing. He said, hallowed be Thy name. And there's where I talked about the idea of our reverence for Him. You heard Miss Cindy and some others talk about their daddy and that he was a great disciplinarian. They loved him, but they reverenced him, they honored him. And you and I ought to reverence our earthly father, honor them. But listen, our heavenly Father, we live in a reverence to Him. Please don't ever, ever call Him the old man upstairs. I hear people say that, man, it just goes all over me. He's not an old man, number one. He is the Ancient of Days, but He is eternal. The Bible said the dew of youth is still on His brow. It means He ain't never got old. He don't ever get old. He's not tired. He's not weary. But we reverence Him. But then notice, I'm going through this real quick, and I'll be through, give you these R's. But then notice what He said as you go on in the prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. And then He goes on and He said, Thy will be done. I think of every time I pray this prayer, the resigning of my will to His, my Father's will. I want to do my Father's will. And you and I will have a happy life. We'll be blessed. And if we'll obey the Father, the prodigal rebelled against his daddy, got all the possession. The Bible said he took his journey. He went out of fellowship with the Father. But if you'll stay in fellowship with Him, I hope you noticed how many times the Father was mentioned before I ever got to this verse. But He said, we hallow His name. And then He said, thy will be done. And so we resign to His will. But notice our reliance on Him. Give us this day our daily bread. And can I tell you just little things, Brother Barry, Brother Mitchell, always remind us to look at those little words, one word. And I was somewhere preaching. I think I was down in Florida recently. Boy, it just broke on my heart one morning. I was in there praying and looking at this particular passage of Scripture. And He said, give us this day our daily bread. Did you know that your daily bread's already got your name on it? Already got your name on it. When you go into school and have little box lunches, little bags or whatever, Mama's good. She'll write your name on your bag or put it on your box so you'll know that's yours. Recognize it. Might have a Spider-Man on it. It might have something else on it that you'd recognize, but you got your name on it. Did you know that God's already put your name on everything you need for this day? He's already got it. It's our bread. It's already ours. He's already got it for you, already got it laid in store. And He mentioned that when He said, your Heavenly Father knows what things you have need of before you have asked Him. That's why it's already got your name on it. That you know whatever you need today, whatever you'll need tomorrow, the day after that, it's yours. He's already got your name on it. He's going to take good care of you. He knows nothing takes Him by surprise. Car breaking down might surprise you. Sickness might surprise you. Cancer might surprise you. But it didn't surprise Him. He's already got your name on what you need in that situation. Our reliance on Him. But then He said, there's a note in this passage of Scripture also of repentance. Forgive us our debts. Forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us our sin. And you and I ought to live in a relationship to where we stay prayed up and close to the Father, nothing between our soul and the Savior, and our repentance toward Him. And thank God for that. But then notice there's also an element of realization. Keep us from evil. We recognize our Father. But my dear friend, we live in a real world, and the realization is that there's evil in this world that wants to sever your relationship between the Father, to sever relationship between believers. And He don't care what He uses. He'll use the simplest of things. I've counseled husbands and wives who got mad at one another because one wanted the toilet paper to come off the top and one wanted to call them off the bottom, and it just irritated the fire out of the other one because they wouldn't put it back on the toilet paper holder right. Is that funny or not? Isn't that something? But people get stupid. You know, we're sheep, we're dumb. But listen, we must never forget that the reality is we have an enemy. And it's not our brothers or our sisters. It's not the church. It's not the living God. There's a devil in this world. And we realize that we are totally dependent on the Father to deliver us from him and from that evil. But lastly, look at it just real quick in the last little phrase. He asks all these things, mentions all these things, but then notice in the last phrase, He said, deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. If you have a note, if you mark your Bible, Brother Barry pointed out to us in Sunday school the other day when he said, I go to prepare a place for you. He's already told us that the mansions are already there. In my Father's house he's already got all that settled. Preparation was Calvary. But notice this. We talk about him. One of these days, he's going to be King of Kings. What's this say? He is. He already. You'll think this term, not one of these days, but thank God he is now. He is, it is His kingdom. It is His power. It is His glory. And thank God for that. He is that. He is now. He has all power. It is His kingdom and it is glory. Not going to be, but is now and forever and forever. And thank God that's your Heavenly Father. You're part of it. You get to go to be with Him for all eternity if you know Him as your Savior and Lord. Would you bow your heads for prayer for just a few moments, my dear friend? Thank you for being here on Father's Day. And what a blessing to know the blessing of Him as your Heavenly Father. I wonder this morning, we testified about our fathers, our earthly fathers, and we're thankful for our fathers who are here present. I thank the Lord for my daddy. I don't know if my father ever got saved or not. I only remember one time in my life him ever going to church. I don't ever remember him reading the Bible. I've never heard him say a prayer. the night he died, I was not in the hospital with him. We were there in the town and we had been left and Mama was there. Mama said, Daddy asked her to go out of the room, that he had to talk to God about some things. Somehow or another, all these years, I've held on to that. When she came back in, it's just a matter of moments, he died. I don't know what went on in that room that day, but I want my children to know, my grandchildren to know, beyond any shadow of a doubt, as Cindy testified a while ago, that when I leave this world, I leave here because he's my Father and I get to go to heaven. You may know him as God. You may know him as your mom and daddy's God. You may know him as their Savior. But it's so important that you know him as your own Father, that you've been born again by the grace of God. The Spirit of God's dealt with you and drawn you, and you realize you were lost and on your way to hell, and there's nothing you could do but trust him and be born again by the grace of God. If that's your case this morning, I want you to trust him as your Savior. But if you're in here this morning and you know him as your Father, for just one brief moment, I want us to take us time, and it's not just for this moment, but right now, all day and all the rest of our lives, and I know that's your case. But would you just raise, if you can, both of your hands toward heaven and thank him for being your Father. Some of you have had great dads, Christian dads, loving, taught you about so many things. But they couldn't give you everlasting life. They couldn't teach eternal truths to you other than what the Holy Ghost of God showed them to teach you. But your Heavenly Father loves you. He cares for you and knows what things you have need of before you ever ask him. He's kept you safe thus far, and he's not going to quit now. Thank him for heaven. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you again for saving me. Thank you for what you've done for me and my family, for my children trusting Christ, many of the grandchildren trusting Christ. God, for those in this church. God, I pray, God, that you'd help us to honor you as our Father with our lives, with our lips. Lord, I pray, God, you'd help us to magnify your name. Lord, I pray for our friends who are in the building and in the radio audience who may not know Christ, in the media audience. God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God would deal with them and convict them, sin, righteous judgment, drawn by your grace, and save them for Jesus' sake. Pray, our Father, they'll take that step of faith that you enable them to take and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, they get to go to heaven and live for all eternity. And we'll thank you and praise you and give you glory.